an arch rival, and like also just like a place for wide receivers to die.
Yes, it's the graveyard, dude.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am once again here with the one, the only, the Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's up, dude?
Thank you, the Walsh. This is it's great to be back.
The Chiefs?
In the other the other half of the AFC North. Oh my God, I can't even talk right now.
Yes. We are back with the AFC North. We are going to do the Browns and the Ravens with the Lamar Jackson. But first, we do need to talk about our good friends over at Auction Draft. Auction Draft is the best site for running your fantasy football auction league in 2018. And you can sign up now and get on the list for launch by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction draft. The promo code is going to be LTFF. That's all capital. I think that probably matters. Maybe it doesn't matter, but just to be safe, do it all capital. And you'll get 50% off your league. Also, we are in the running for a podcast award courtesy of podcastawards.com. So you can go to www.podcastawards.com. You can register for free and you can vote for us in the sports category. Please do that. That would be real cool. So with that out of the way, let's get right into the rest of the AFC North. And Vinny, we are going to start with the Cleveland Browns, who had quite the interesting offseason. This team looks nothing like it did last year, no. Which is good. It's honestly a really interesting team. So let's talk about the quarterback situation. Obviously, Baker Mayfield was the number one pick in the NFL draft, but our old familiar friend, and old favorite of LTFF, Tyrod Taylor, was also traded for. So right now, Tyrod Taylor is expected to be the starter, at least at the beginning of this season. And he's currently going off the board at quarterback 25, 10th pick of the 14th round. So more or less free there. Vinny, what are your thoughts on Ty God?
I want to love it, but I know I shouldn't. I should stay away from Tyrod. And I really can't explain why. I just think the competition that like they could possibly have throughout the season, obviously they'll have one leading up, but I think Tyrod should be the starter. And I think if you're paying nothing for Tyrod, it's great. It's just how long could you be invested if he plays poorly early on and Baker Mayfield's going to be like breathing down his neck the entire time. But at the free price, what's not to love? We've always thought Tyrod has been an underappreciated football asset as well as a fantasy football asset, and he's always good. That rushing potential is insane. And Tyrod is a great quarterback who doesn't really turn it over and is very dynamic. So I love Tyrod a lot. Paying for free, if my draft works out that way, I won't be mad. It's just I will be a little scared.
Yeah, that's fair. He starts the season with the Steelers and then the Saints, which were two pretty decent defenses last year. So, you know, he's in streamer territory. If you're in, you know, a 2QB league, a super flex league, maybe that's a different story. But within a 1QB league, he's a streamer. I don't mind him going that late at all. And we all know he can create those fantasy points on the ground. I've used Tyrod Taylor plenty of times over the past couple of years, either by drafting him, by picking him up on bye weeks, whatever the case may be. He's a very usable fantasy quarterback, and I think he's gonna throw the fucking pig to Josh Gordon, but we'll save that for a little bit later on. Baker Mayfield, if he starts, do you think he's immediately a streaming option, or do you think we need to see a little bit from him?
I think I need to see a little bit, but like, I'm sure we'll get to this when we talk about the wide receivers. A lot of shit changes if these guys switch starting roles. Like, obviously the correlation of Tyrod would equal much more goodness for Josh Gordon, and then Baker Mayfield would probably be way better for Jarvis Landry with the short intermediate stuff, where Tyrod will just chuck fucking bombs to Gordon. So a lot would change depending on who is the starter here.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. It's worth noting that Mayfield is pretty mobile too. So it's not like you're looking, I mean, Tyrod obviously is the better rushing quarterback, but that's what we look for. When you have like these guys who are questionable passers coming in, what you need in order to you know, really get their fantasy results up there is that mobility. And Mayfield does have a bit of that. So I think he goes right into the streamer pool if he is named the starting quarterback at some point during the season. Let's talk about their running backs. This was a weird situation. They went out, they paid Carlos Hyde, gave him top 10 running back money. And then they also drafted Nick Chubb out of Georgia with the 38th overall pick. So we've got Carlos Hyde coming in, getting paid a lot. Seems like he's going to be the starter. You still have Duke Johnson, who's a guy who has been productive catching balls out of the backfield in past years. And then you've got Nick Chubb, who has virtually no passing down skills, doesn't catch the ball, doesn't block, doesn't pass protect. But he's a very, very talented runner. And we saw that at Georgia. You know, he was taking work even when Todd Gurley was still there. So we know this guy is a talented running back. In terms of where they're going in the draft, it's all within a round of each other. Carlos Hyde, third pick of the eighth round, running back 37. Duke Johnson, ninth pick, eighth round, running back 40. Nick Chubb, third pick of the ninth round, running back 42. So the question here becomes, well, two of them. One, what the fuck are the Browns trying to do here? And then two, which one of these guys is the guy to go after, if any of them?
I don't know what the fuck the Browns are doing. I thought they were fine. I thought they were fine with Carlos Hyde and Duke. And they bring in Chubb. And Duke is great. I think the one guy I would want is Duke. I don't really want a part of Carlos Hyde. I don't want part of Nick Chubb. I just want Duke Johnson. He is like the other Gio Bernard, basically. And I feel like they'll be able to implement him way easier. And I think he's the guy with the slotted role for sure. Third down change of pace and is a PPR monster, which we've seen on like those awful Browns teams. He's been, he had fucking almost 80 catches. He did. He had, no, he didn't. 74 catches. He came really close on like a bad, bad team. So I think when they implement to like a good offense, he'll have more scoring potential. He'll probably be as equally, if not more, involved, and he won't have to deal with competition with each other like Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb. Like, the ceiling can only go higher for Duke Johnson, and Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb can only go down from where you draft them.
Okay, that's fair. I definitely have some concerns there. See, for me, I know he's going the highest, but I think Carlos Hyde is the guy that I want to own because he's going to get at least some rushing work, and then Carlos Hyde is a guy last year who also got 88 targets. He caught 59 balls. This is a guy who can be used in the pass game as well. And I think the other concern with me for Duke is, does Jarvis Landry kind of, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're not playing the same exact position, but those guys are operating in the same space on the field. So does the addition of Jarvis Landry and the need to get him the ball because they gave him a fuck ton of money, does that sort of limit the upside of Duke Johnson as well? Ideally, I end up with none of them. I don't really want to have to deal with this situation, but I think if I do take one of them, it'll most likely be someone falling way past their ADP or me taking Carlos Hyde at ADP.
Yeah, this is definitely a tough one. It's like a, like, you kind of want these guys. It's like the opposite of the Lions that we talked about. Like, you wouldn't mind having them, but at least they're not Lions running back core bad. Like, you can get some productivity out of these guys. It's just with, like, with Hyde and Nick Chubb, I just don't see what the hell. I think Nick Chubb, am I, like, overestimating how involved Nick Chubb could possibly be? Or is he, like, even going to see the field? He's going to be, like, basically just a goal line back. I'm having trouble reading that. And I think that's what's throwing a wrench into my brain, making me think Duke Johnson's the only one that I want.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, and it's also, again, keep an eye on it in preseason. But you're right. Does Nick Chubb come in the red zone? Like, is that a thing? Because if Carlos Hyde isn't the primary passing down back and he's not getting the goal line work, then he's fucking worthless.
That's what I'm thinking here. I just think I could see him easily phased out, even though they paid him a lot. It kind of happened even in San Fran for a little bit. They tried to do other things outside of.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't think there's really a correct answer at this point. Definitely keep an eye on it in preseason. The other thing too, Tyrod Taylor doesn't throw it well to the running backs really, or throw it well short. So, I mean, like, does that change? Does it change when Baker Mayfield comes in? Like, well, there's just so many.
Because with Tyrod and Shady was fine, you know? And I think
that's true.
Duke Johnson could kind of be that involved. I mean, if there's a game plan to get him the ball, Tyrod will do it. It's just, what the fuck are the Browns doing was your first question, and we don't know right now. So we'll have to probably see this shake out for a bit in the preseason. You're absolutely right.
All right, let's move on from this confusing running back situation to the also kind of confusing wide receiver situation. So we have Josh Gordon currently going fourth pick in the third round. That's wide receiver 11. Jarvis Landry, eighth pick in the fifth round, wide receiver 24. There's been some news about both of them. Josh Gordon is not currently yet at camp. From what both he and the team have said, this was planned. This is him getting some extra counseling as a guy who, you know, has struggled with drug issues. He has anxiety issues. This is something that he planned on doing supposedly to try and keep himself cool, for the season. The other news, I guess, was sort of just coach speak that came out today about Jarvis Landry, which was that they plan on using him outside in two receiver sets. I wouldn't read too much into that. I still think he'll be primarily in the slot, and we'll just kick out when they only have two wide receivers on the field. Does that Josh Gordon stuff worry you at all? Are you buying into it being a bad thing? And then I guess, dependent or independent of that, what do you think about his ADP and his value?
Man, it all harkens back to like the quarterback situation for me. It's just hard for me to pay up for Josh Gordon because you do have to pay up for him somewhat. I just think, you know, again, kind of like the Juju thing, you're going to pay for the name as well as the talent, which is astronomical. It's just there's a lot of things factored in. Like the missing training camp thing, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think that's fantastic for him. Go clear your head, get straight. It's better than, you know, slipping up. So good for Josh Gordon. It's cool to see him take it seriously, want to get healthy and all that. And paying for him here, this is probably the best you'll be able to get Josh Gordon. And I think if you love Josh Gordon, I think you should do it. And if Tyrod is definitely going to be the mainstay starter, this is a great ADP for him.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Gordon, we know he's going to be running these deep routes. We know he can go up and get the ball. We know Tyrod loves to throw it deep. So theoretically, it all makes sense. And you know, I've been as much of a Josh Gordon mark or a Josh Gordon fan for as anyone really for years. But I think there is room to pause there and like, to kind of look at the people he's going around. So after Josh Gordon, you have guys like Larry Fitzgerald, you have Stephon Diggs, you have like those two names right there stand out to me as just like, should probably be taking those guys before Josh Gordon. I mean, Tyreek Hill, I know he's sort of like a polarizing player. Amari Cooper, also polarizing player, but those two in particular, Fitzgerald and Diggs, like, I don't know that I can pull the trigger on Josh Gordon until those two are off the board.
So I would definitely take Diggs over Gordon, but that's just because I love Diggs and I love, you know, Kirk coming to the Vikings, but yeah. I would definitely take Gordon over Fitz.
Okay.
Just because I think Fitz is kind of like on his way out. They got a lot of quarterback changes themselves going on. As great as Fitz is, his cliff is just clearly on the way.
Yeah, it's definitely a precipitous drop there when it does happen. Yeah, I mean, it's just something to think about, though. But I mean, hey, if you believe in Josh Gordon, and again, if he comes out and he's, you know, getting the ball thrown to him by Tyrod 50 yards down the field twice a game and, you know, just going up, getting it, and then stiff-arming pussies out of the way, you know, that's go ahead and take him. Like, just go for it. He's insanely talented. This is a guy who – people, including I think myself, which definitely overreaction, but like people were trying to make the case that he was the most talented wide receiver in the league when Calvin fucking Johnson was in the league, who's arguably the most talented wide receiver ever. So like that's how talented this guy is. We know he's the ceiling that he can have. So yeah, it's a lot of risk, but if it hits, man, you are sitting real pretty. Let's talk about Landry, who is currently going eighth pick of the fifth round. That's wide receiver 24. I'm scared about his volume. That's as basic as it really needs to be. This is a guy who had 166 targets, then 131, and then 161 over the past 3 years. And he needs that heavy volume to produce because he doesn't really get a ton of yards per catch. He doesn't get a ton of yards per attempt, and he doesn't get a lot of touchdowns. So, I mean, with Tyrod Taylor, with the assumption that Tyrod Taylor will be starting for, say, the first 6-7 games of the season, I don't see how Jarvis Landry could possibly pay off that draft price.
Yeah, and I'm totally with you. I don't think he will at all. It's just it's funny that we're doing the Ravens and Browns together because Jarvis Landry is basically the Joe Flacco of wide receivers. Like, he has high volume and he doesn't even go over 1,000 yards with 112 catches. Just like Joe Flacco throws the ball almost 600 times and doesn't get over 4,000 yards. It's just like, how did that happen with that volume? It just doesn't make sense. So I'm definitely going to stay away as much as I love Landry. But like you said, things could change quickly. And then if Baker Mayfield comes in, I think you'd agree with me that Jarvis Landry would almost be more valuable in that offense than Josh Gordon.
Yeah, that isn't to say that Baker can't throw the ball downfield, because he can, but you would think rookie quarterback comes in and Jarvis Landry just kind of provides a very safe target for him, a guy over the middle who, you know, can make the first read and then can sort of get it to him if the first read isn't there, that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I think if Mayfield does come in, that's sort of the time to, you know, be playing Landry. That's when you will want to really use him more. But I will not be owning Jarvis Landry unless he falls significantly past that ADP.
Yeah, and there are guys going after him. I'll just read them off like in order as they are now: Chris Hogan, Marvin Jones, Corey Davis, Michael Crabtree, Sammy Watkins, Edelman, Fuller, and Garcon. Like rounds after Jarvis Landry. Stock up on a different position. Elite tight ends possibly hanging around there. Elite quarterbacks if you're into that. So there are other guys to spend that draft capital on rather than Jarvis Landry there in the fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, you stopped a couple names short of him too, but like Jamison Crowder and, you know, the guys Don and Shrek will be talking about him in the NFC East podcast. But Jamison Crowder is Alex Smith's slot receiver, and Jarvis Landry is Tyrod Taylor's slot receiver. Like, who would you rather have? And that's Crowder's a full 2.5 rounds later, you know?
Yes.
So, you're right. There's about 10 guys that are going below that I would probably take over Jarvis Landry, which kind of shows you how we feel about him at this point in time. In terms of the rest of the wide receivers on the team, you have Corey Coleman, obviously, is the biggest name. He was the first wide receiver taken in the draft a couple of years ago. You also have guys like Antonio Callaway, Rashard Higgins, Ricardo Lewis, and Jeff Janis, who have all kind of, outside of Callaway, shown potential at various points, but really aren't probably worth thinking about. Coleman's sort of like John Ross, who we mentioned in our last podcast for me, where I don't think he's the worst dart throw you can make at the end of a draft. He's sort of been plagued by injuries his first 2 years in the league. But, you know, we did say before that they're planning on using Landry in two wide receiver sets. So Coleman probably won't be on the field more than 60-70% of the snaps.
Yeah, it's a shame because when he's, you know, healthy and active, he is a good player. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. Like, the Browns are such a deep team. They could probably trade him or, you know, just cut him. It's going to be interesting what they do here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to tight end, where we've got David Njoku, who is the second year wide receiver, tight end. Let's move on to tight end, where we have the second year wide receiver, you stupid moron. Good job, host. No. So David Njoku, he's going the 12th pick in the 12th round. That's tight end 13. He is a big athletic dude with a lot of potential. They also did sign Darren Fells in the offseason to a 3-year deal. Not that I expect Fells to be a fantasy producer or anything, but to me, that's a little bit of a warning sign that maybe this isn't the breakout year for Njoku, particularly when we're expecting bigger years out of, you know, Gordon Landry and even some of the running backs. I don't know. I'm not really targeting him on the roulette wheel.
Yeah, I'm not really about it either. I mean, how many guys can we name that we are expecting to have more of an opportunity and getting more volume than, you know, without David Njoku involved? So there's just too much to go around, too many high profile players that they brought in. I think he'll be, you know, shit end of the stick there with the opportunities, even though he is a big athletic freak and he will have his games. It's just not going to be anywhere near consistent. So I will also be staying away from that for at least this year.
Yeah, maybe a streamer. Maybe you can catch him lucky touchdown week. Maybe a DFS play some weeks, but not for me in terms of the draft. You got anything else on the Browns?
No, I'm actually just kind of terrified that they're going to be good now, and a lot of things are going to change in the NFL here.
Yeah, if the Browns are good, it's definitely a different NFL landscape than it has been in the past. So let's move away from them and let you guys ruminate over the Browns while we hear from our good friends over at Auction Draft.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
All right, guys, we are back. That was Auction Draft, and we are going to finish out the AFC North with the Baltimore Ravens. We'll start over at the quarterback position where we have the old mainstay, Joe Flacco. And then we have the young, exciting rookie, Lamar Jackson, who they traded up to take with the last pick in the first round, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Flacco not being drafted. Good. Should he be drafted?
No, thank you.
Cool. Yeah. I think it's worth noting that last year he was awful, particularly in the first half of the year. He wasn't too bad in the second, but he also missed all of training camp with a back injury last year. And he, as I said, he did play better down the stretch during that playoff push that they sort of had. I still don't think he should be drafted, but I mean, you could convince me to stream Flacco a couple weeks this season.
There have been times where I didn't try to convince you and you did it anyway. So Joe Flacco will probably be played by you at some point, which he's always in the streamer category when a good thing pops up, because they did bring a lot of guys in as well. So I didn't mean to underplay Flacco there as a fantasy asset, because he probably will reach streamer territory for a lot of people.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not really saying much. Lamar Jackson is fucking intriguing as hell if he gets on the field, though, because he's clearly the best rushing quarterback in this draft class. Got 50 rushing touchdowns in 3 years in college, and he's also a pretty solid passer. He increased his completion percentage every year in college. He's a better passer than people give him credit for, I think. If Flacco gets hurt or gets benched or whatever the case may be, Lamar Jackson is immediately a guy who can come in and maybe not be the best on the field quarterback, but he can be your fantasy quarterback, I think, any day of the week, and particularly on Sundays. That was really bad. What do you think about Lamar Jackson?
Oh, man, it certainly makes me think that there will be a huge quarterback problem, like, really soon. Like, if Flacco starts slow, Lamar Jackson's going to be, like, all over the media. It's just going to be ridiculous. And Flacco hasn't really done anything since his big contract that's been, like, eye-popping or amazing. So the Lamar Jackson, even just them taking him, is shocking to me. So it's certainly something that looms large over the Ravens organization right now. So there could be a lot of pressure to get him on the field earlier than he's ready. Could it be the Deshaun Watson effect, which I'm seeing a lot of people hoping it will be? I think that was more Deshaun Watson being really freakishly good than willing to like lightning strike twice again with Lamar Jackson. But as you said before, if he sees the field, it's immediately intriguing and he'll probably be able to contribute. Like we saw Tim Tebow have great games and he was just god awful passer and still putting up good games fantasy wise. So Lamar Jackson certainly has some weapons around him as well. So if he does see the field, our eyes will be popping out of our heads real quick.
Oh yeah, for sure. If he's named the starter, I am picking him up off every waiver wire I can get him off. All right, let's talk about the running back position. We saw Alex Collins really come into his own last year after being cut by the Seahawks during training camp. He was really integral to that second half surge that we talked about with the Ravens, averaging 19 touches a game from week 8 onward. What do you think about him going fourth pick in the fourth round? That's running back 19. So, I mean, you're not paying nothing for Alex Collins. Do you think it's worth it?
I do, because what was the most impressive thing about Alex Collins last year was the Ravens were awful and they ran it so much without, they were just like, you know, we're running it, we're just going to do it. And he was still awesome. Like there was no, oh, they're going to stack the box issue. Like it didn't fucking matter. Alex Collins was great. He's a young back and they're going to do the same thing again. The only thing that maybe slightly concerns me is Kenneth Dixon coming back from suspension being healthy, because they did love him a year prior. So that could get a little interesting. And like you said, you're not paying nothing for Alex Collins like you did last year when you just pick him up off the waiver wire. So things could get a little dicey quickly, but I think Alex Collins is pretty solidified in their offense and I hope they utilize him like they did last year. Otherwise there could be some issues.
Yeah. I think I've spent most of the off season sort of like waffling on what I think of him. And I'm starting to think that he's a guy that I'm going to actively target unless we really see, you know, them feature Kenneth Dixon heavily in the preseason. I think there's a lot of reasons to like, but also like some reasons to be cautious about Alex Collins. So on the plus side, he's getting both the starting guards back from injury. Guards are, you know, very important to the run game, particularly a guy running in between the tackles like Alex Collins. That's good. On the downside, his yards per carry sort of went down as the year went on last year. So we saw him wear down a little bit as they gave him more and more work. Can he hold up over a full season getting 18 or so touches a game? Downside, only 36 targets last year. Wasn't particularly used heavily in the pass game. Upside, over the last three games of the year, he had 8, 4, and 6 targets. So it's possible that towards the end of the year, they were like, hey, we can give this guy a shot in these scenarios, and maybe that'll carry over to this year. So there's things on both sides here that you can really think about and that you can really lock into in terms of where you want your opinion to fall. But just based on the other talent going in that area and what I think sort of the potential that Collins has, I think I'm going to really go after him. You know, particularly when the next pick is fucking Rashad Penny.
I was just about to say, this is that territory that we were like ranting about, I think a couple podcasts ago, where it's just people saying, fuck it, and taking all the rookie running backs when Alex Collins is still right there. He does start the run of these guys, but if you're able to grab Alex Collins, like, after you grab two elite wide receivers, like we've been stressing very clearly all draft season, Alex Collins is not like he could be. Say you grab two elite guys, you could possibly have Joe Mixon and Alex Collins. That's not bad.
Yeah, it could be worse. You mentioned Dixon and how he is coming back. They did seem to like him a lot. Then he got suspended and hurt and all those good things last year. He's currently the 7th pick in the 13th round. That's running back 56. He's a dart throw, and I think he's a worthy dart throw. What do you think about him there?
Yeah, certainly, especially when it's this late. Obviously, this should change with some preseason stuff. He's very dynamic when he's been out there. So I'm eager to see what he's able to do. But certainly, if it stays this low, very intriguing dart throw.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys, you know, who you can get at that point in the draft who I think his upside, even almost without an injury, like obviously we like Alex Collins, but he put it together for half a season. And we know how fickle teams are with running backs and who they play and those sorts of things. So I think even without an injury, Kenneth Dixon's upside is a guy who's getting 2/3 of the touches and the majority of the passing down work for, you know, for a team that will likely, you know, give the ball to the running back a decent amount. So it's hard to really get that kind of upside in those sorts of rounds, which really makes him a guy that I would be also targeting in those late rounds. Buck Allen is also still here. Do we give a fuck?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Let's talk about the wide receivers because they look really, really, really different than last year. Gone are Jeremy Maclin and why can I not think of a single
Mike
person?
Mike Wallace,
yeah, Jesus. So gone are these guys, and in we have Michael Crabtree, Willie Snead, and John Brown. Rashad Perryman and Chris Moore are also still there on the team. But I think it's relatively safe to assume that the top three guys on the team should be Crabtree, Snead, and Brown. Crabtree is the only one getting drafted, so we'll talk about him first. He's the fifth pick in the sixth round. That is wide receiver 28. Do you like him at wide receiver 28?
I just don't like the situation. Like, the Ravens seem to do this all the time, where they bring a guy in like the tail end of his career, even though he's still good, and just kind of use him incorrectly, or just he's the number one. Yeah, like we always preach that, but what's there to go around when Joe Flacco isn't consistently going over 4,000 yards? That's the kind of thing you look for when you're trying to get a fantasy asset. So Michael Crabtree, obviously a great red zone threat, but we've seen, like, I thought Jeremy Maclin would have a better year than he did last year with the Ravens. Did he have some playable games? Yeah, horribly inconsistent. And just had to rely on a touchdown, and the Ravens weren't exactly raking those in last year, which I don't expect them to this year, even with the added talent. So taking a gamble on Michael Crabtree in the sixth, I'd much rather grab other guys later, kind of like we were saying with I was saying with Smith-Schuster, possibly just grabbing the later guys, hanging around there, grabbing other people in place. I just don't see how, like, the ceiling that Michael Crabtree could have on the offense is not doing it for me.
That's definitely fair, and I don't think the ceiling is particularly high. And you're right, the Ravens do have, you know, sort of a history of misusing guys and this sort of thing. I keep coming back to the idea, though, that, like, unless they're, like, really fucking dumb or Joe Flacco is, like, the most washed person in the history of the world, like, he's got to get 120 targets and lead the team in red zone targets, or at least lead that wide receiving core in red zone targets. And to me, like, you got to take that guy in the sixth, you know, it's like 120 targets plus probably 15 to 20 red zone targets. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I can pass that up, but you make good points too. You know, it's really difficult. It's one of those where, like, I'll probably find myself taking Crabtree in certain spots and I'll do it and just kind of be like,
but it was the Maclin pick last year, dude. It's just like, oh man. And then you just keep telling yourself, like, he's a number one wide receiver on an NFL team. And then he's in your flex, and then he slowly goes to your bench and you just hate yourself.
Yeah. I know it's easy to retrofit narratives to things. Like, you can retrofit the narrative that Joe Flacco missed camp in preseason last year to, like, be the reason that Maclin didn't pan out, which may or may not be true.
Get out of here.
Just let me be optimistic about Crabtree.
That sucks too, because I'm a huge Crabtree
fan. Yeah, you love that guy.
I do. I love Crabtree. And this is probably the worst outcome. Because it was when they're, like, potentially getting Dez too. I'm just like, two of my favorite wide receivers are going to come to an arch rival.
An arch rival, and, like, also just, like, a place for wide receivers to die.
Yes, it's the graveyard, dude.
Yeah.
It's rough.
All right, so Crabtree, obviously not our favorite guy, you know, a guy that I might end up with more than advisable, but I think your take is probably better than mine on him, because mine is more just like, he's got to do something. But let's move on to the other guys, namely Willie Snead and John Brown. I think we can ignore Perryman and Chris Moore. neither of these two guys are being drafted. Do you think there's one of them similar to the John Ross and the Corey Coleman type things where maybe late round flyer, you would do it? Like, do you think one of these guys can be that guy?
It's hard for me. Like, I think if John Brown is fully healthy, he'll fit right into the Mike Wallace mold, which could be, you know, inconsistent, but pretty good for a flex fill-in, especially when it's free, like we always say. And there's a lot of things that fringe on that, though. Like, John Brown's health has never been fantastic, but he's absolutely a great talent. It's just, can he stay on the field? So I'd be wary of that. And he could probably be a guy you could pick up during the season. Same goes for Willie Snead. I think he's going to have to show me, even though he was great last year, he was awful. They did not implement him back after suspension at all. But the 2 years prior, he was fantastic. He was approaching 70 catches and almost getting 1,000 yards and around like 5 touchdowns a season. But that was also with Drew Brees. So I'm going to have to see it in the offense. And he's probably a guy I could pick up in the season too, just like John Brown. So I'll do the wait and show me approach for these guys.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm interested to see who's on the field in two wide receiver sets along with Michael Crabtree, which one of these guys it is. I'm interested to see who's manning the slot in this offense because, you know, that can lead to a lot of easy targets and really, you know, in PPR leagues, give you a guy who's cheap and playable on a week-to-week basis. So I think there's things to look at during preseason. John Brown's definitely the guy that I would lean towards in terms of late-round upside because he's a guy who, if he stays healthy, he's going to be on the field for, you know, at least 70% of the snaps, and he's got 4.34 speed. So that's good. We like those things. At the tight end, I don't think there's really much. They still have Max Williams and Nick Boyle. Max Williams was a high draft pick for them a couple of years ago. Hasn't really panned out. And then they drafted Hayden Hurst in the first round and then also took Mark Andrews, who in this situation is not a skinny Welsh professional wrestler, but instead a tight end out of Oklahoma, I want to say, in the third round.
Exact opposite.
What?
Of our
beloved skinny Welsh professional wrestler slash pop punk singer.
Punk rock.
Yeah. If you don't know Mark Andrews the wrestler, just look him up or something. He's fun. But anyway, this isn't him. I guess the expectation is for Hayden Hurst to be the number one tight end. I don't know. None of them are gonna be fantasy relevant this year. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, we've been chasing the elusive, illustrious tight end of Joe Flacco for quite some time, you and me, and it just has not panned out in the slightest. So suffered many a heartbreak, but I don't think any of these guys are going to be able to fit the mold.
Yeah, not worth it. Maybe one of them emerges as a primary target later in the season. I don't know who the fuck it'll be. I don't really care at this point because it's not worth drafting them. That'll be it for the Ravens, I think, unless you got anything else, man.
No, that wraps up the AFC North for us. Thanks for hanging out. This was more fun than usual with the shakeup that the Browns brought, man. It's really, really brings it lively because usually it's a downer on the Browns-Ravens cast.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, Browns and Ravens both really kind of shook things up a lot this offseason. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out for both of them. You know, I think a lot of people are optimistic for the Browns, maybe not as much for the Ravens, but we'll see what happens. So yeah, that's the AFC North, guys. Again, I don't know exactly when this is out, but if you haven't listened to our NFC West and NFC West,
West,
I'm not even drinking beer, dude. I had a coffee while I recorded this, and I still am just talking like an asshole. NFC West or NFC East podcasts, both of those divisions have come out recently or are coming out in the future, depending on when Shrek decides to do things. So, yeah, just fucking keep an eye out or something. Keep on mock drafting, as Vinny always says, and we got the Hall of Fame game coming up real, real fucking soon. So for Vinny, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.